It's Tuesday, the 19th of April, 2016. Happy birthday to Kelly Olynyk. The Red Rock Basketball Monster Show, brought to you by Loot Crate and Heaver. My name is Josh Lloyd, and if you want to be like Heaver and leave a review on the podcast, you can be a sponsor for the day. It is very straightforward. Thank you to Heaver, which I know is not your real name. That is David from Melbourne. So thank you, David, for leaving the review on iTunes. Helps the show enormously when I go to sponsors and can show them the support that the show has. I think we've almost unanimously got 5-star reviews. I think it's an average of 4.98, and that's impressive with given the amount of reviews that are on the show. So thank you to Heaver. Thank you, of course, to Loot Crate, who is today's sponsor of the podcast. It's going to be a pretty short podcast, I reckon, today. 3 games to look at from Monday, 2 games to preview for Tuesday. But
let's get to it.
Can't do a podcast without Michael Bolton. Interesting day in the NBA. I think pretty much every day is an interesting day. I say that phrase way too often. But we had an upset. We had our first upset in the Western Conference, and it's not one that we could have really seen coming, but when I gave out the series predictions before the playoffs started, I said Carlisle's going to get a victory. He's going to get the Mavs at least, or I said he's going to get them one. Maybe this is the one that they get. Everything went wrong for Oklahoma City, and he got the victory. Carlisle and the Mavs did. Let's start by looking at the playoff monstrous line of the night. And that goes to Draymond Green of the Golden State Warriors. Without Steph Curry, he put up 46.8 FanDuel points. Obviously, that was the most on the night. Draymond had 12, 14, and 8. He had 2 steals. He had a block. His shooting was not ideal. He was 4 of 12 from the field. He was 4 of 6 from the free throw line. But for DFS points, he was the best guy out there. So Draymond Green gets the monstrous FanDuel line of the night. Look at these 2 other awards that we've been introducing throughout the playoffs. That is the best value play of the night. We're going to look at Draymond's teammate, and that is Andre Iguodala, who played 33 minutes with Steph out and had one of his best games probably of the season. He went 18-3-3. He had 4 triples. He had 2 steals. He had a block as well. That gave him 31 FanDuel points at a price of $3,700. So significant value, and I reckon pretty much all of the winning lineups would have had Andre Iguodala in them. On the flip side, let's look at the dud of the night. I'm looking at guys who are priced at over $5,000. This was a guy that I think you would have been pretty silly to use. Damari Carroll coming in at $5,100. He only put up 3.9 FanDuel points. That's obviously not a lot if you're unaware. He played 20 minutes and had 2, 2, and 1, and his season has been an absolute write-off this season. Yes, he's had knee injuries, but he was not great before the knee injuries. Came back the first time and struggled as well, and then has missed most of the year. Really been a massive downer for Carroll and for the Raptors for signing him. We don't know how he'll be next season, whether he was just a product of the Atlanta system that got him that big contract. But this season's a real tough one to try and evaluate if that's the cause or not. So that's our nightly awards from Monday night's action. And what I'm going to do throughout the playoffs, if you haven't caught any of the shows, is just give a quick look through the box scores, talk a little bit about the games without going into them in too much detail. The Raptors and the Pacers was the first game up. The Raptors got that victory back. That was really key for them. I think they could go on. They could go on to steamroll the Pacers from here. I think they are still the better team. And they got this big victory even with Paul George scoring 28 points. It's just that no one else showed up for Indiana. Monte Ellis had 15 points. George Hill was putrid. Lavoy Allen continued to start, not doing anything. Miles Turner didn't have the best night. Still blocked 2 shots, 8 points in 16 minutes, but he's not going to have a big role. The key thing to look at here is that Yan Mahinmi suffered an injury to his back. He played just 22 minutes, so if he's questionable for the next game, if he happens to miss time, and he was poor anyway, he missed all 6 of his shots from the field, which he won't do, but that's going to give Turner more playing time. It's going to give Jordan Hill some extra run as well, and he becomes a DFS option then in that case. The most important thing to look at in the rotation is Solomon Hill still there. He played 27 minutes, and he didn't do much, 2, 6, and 2, but he's still there in the rotation. He's still getting minutes. He's still a part of what they're doing. He's getting more minutes than CJ Miles and Ty Lawson. They actually emptied the bench a bit here. They gave Mighty Joe Young and Glenn Robinson III some extra run as well. But Solomon Hill's going to have a pretty significant role for the majority of the playoffs, it seems. And I just remembered I didn't do the perfect DFS lineup, which I'll do after I talk about the Raptors here. Jonas Valanciunas, I've been talking about this guy for a couple of seasons. I feel really strongly he's going to have a massive playoffs, and he's done it so far in both games. Played 31 minutes here, went 23-15, had a steal and had two blocks. And he is going to be a monster. I've been calling for him to get 30-plus minutes for about the last three seasons. He's starting to get back to that now, and he's looking sensational. Really, really like Valanciunas. I think he can be a really good player for this team. And came through here. DeMar DeRozan's shooting is still way off in these two games. Only 10 points in 31 minutes. At least Kyle Lowry was a bit better. He went 18-7-9. And Corey Joseph's obviously got a pretty key role on this team. He had 16 in his 24 minutes. Carroll replaced Normie Powell in the starting lineup. That meant Powell played 22 off the bench. Carroll played 20 as a starter. But the Raptors had this one in control. So we saw DeLon Wright get some playing time. Jason Thompson get some playing time. Terrence Ross only played 10 minutes before he had to leave with a concussion. And that allowed Wright to get some extra playing time as well. Also, Pat had his best game probably of the season. Also, 14-6 with two triples in 31 minutes. And he is so far a superior option to what Luis Scola is. He should be getting the majority of these minutes. There's no need for Scola to play. There's no need for Scola to start. There's no need for Scola to play 11 minutes. Patterson needs to get those 34. You can put Jason Thompson in there for a bit of defense. You can put Biombo in there a little bit extra as well. I wouldn't be completely adverse to, for a couple of minutes, running a Biombo-Valanciunas pairing. That might sound crazy, but I wouldn't be hating it too much. But the Raptors, that's a key victory for them to get that one in Toronto. And now they head to Indiana to try and get the next two. And I reckon they'll be massively determined in Game 3. And even if they're underdogs, I think they're going to pull it off in Game 3. Let's look at the perfect DFS lineup now that I skipped it earlier. Ray Felton at 36.7 at the point guard. He was probably my must-play guy of the day, even though Darren Williams did end up playing, upgraded from doubtful to playing, and looked red hot to start off the game. Darren Felton had 36.7. With Steph out, Sean Livingston went for 29.4. He was pretty much a no-brainer at minimum salary once Curry was out. Jim Harden at 43.9 and Klay Thompson at 43.1. That was the spot to spend the money. Small forwards, Paulie George at 34.3 and then Iggy at 31.1. We touched on his big performance already. Again, with Steph out here to take on some extra responsibility. Power forwards, Draymond at 46.8. Another no-brainer with Steph out. Serge Ibaka at 27.6. He's been the best of the Thunder guys through both of the games in terms of DFS production. And Valanciunas, another massive night. 46 points for Jonas Valanciunas. That lineup, as you can see, that total is pretty low. 33 would have been low. 338.9. And I reckon when we get to Tuesday's line and we look at it tomorrow, it's going to be a lot lower because Tuesday's lineup is not an easy one to craft. All right, let's take a quick moment to talk about today's sponsor, which is Loot Crate. It's a monthly subscription box service, Loot Crate. It's for epic geek and gamer items and pop culture gear. It's less than $20 a month, and each month you get 6 to 8 items in your box, including licensed gear, apparel, collectibles, and unique one-of-a-kind items. It's the 19th of April now. You've got until 9 p.m. Pacific today to order to get this month's box. And this month's box theme is Quest. It's a springtime quest, people going out on adventures in all sort of fantasy lands. You get things, items from games like Uncharted 4 from Harry Potter series, History Channel's Vikings, Labyrinth. You get t-shirts in there, the loot pins in there as well. So make sure you're getting over to Loot Crate. But when you're going to Loot Crate, don't just go to lootcrate.com. Go to lootcrate.com/redrock. It's our unique URL. It tells Loot Crate that you've come from this podcast, that you're listening to this podcast, and you're taking heed of the people who do support this podcast, and that is Loot Crate. And if you use my coupon code, which is REDROCK, one word, you save $3 off every new subscription. So head across to lootcrate.com/REDROCK, check out what's happening, get in on that Quest-themed box before it finishes and before we have our announcement of the May box. So check out what's happening over at Loot Crate. Thank you to the guys there for supporting the podcast. Okay, let's get back into looking at these games now. Slightly out of order today. The next one, Dallas and Oklahoma City, a real upset. I think that's fair to say. We saw Darren Williams did get the start. He was doubtful. Like I said, it was a really weird situation because he was doubtful to play, and we knew JJ Barea was going to be out, but we thought, okay, Williams isn't going to play. Who are they going to play in the backcourt? It's going to have to be a lot of Devin Harris, a lot of Ray Felton, a lot of Justin Anderson. But then, I don't know, a couple of hours maybe before the game, we saw Williams get upgraded and played. But then, during the game, he hurt himself. And that's not ideal. Considering he's been dealing with his sports hernia for a couple of weeks now, it's not ideal that he goes out there, plays, looked really good, but couldn't close out the game, couldn't finish the game. And it's a real concern because, you know, we're heading into Thursday's game back in Dallas. They might be, once again, without Perea and without Darren Williams. But he was good. He had 13 points, 5 assists, and 3 triples. But Felton's the guy we're going to be really leaning on heavily. He played 42 minutes, went 21-11 with 3 assists, and it's going to be that way for a while. Rick Carlisle made the old switcheroo at the center position. He started Zaza Pachulia in this one. Salah Mejri started the last game. But basically, they just moved into each other's roles. In the first game, Mejri started, played limited minutes, while Pachulia came off the bench and got most of the playing time. In this one, Mejri went to the bench and played 28 minutes and went 12-3 with 3 blocks. Trying to predict what's going to happen with the centers in Dallas has been a fool's errand for about the last month, 6 weeks maybe, and it's continuing in the playoffs. It's really hard to trust any of those guys in any DFS cash situation. Wes Matthews, poor night, 6 points. Dirk had 17, and Justin Anson only got the 14 minutes. So it's going to take Williams and Barea both being out for him to get any sort of playing time that's going to be worthwhile. Devin Harris, he gets playing time. He just does nothing statistically. He's always worth a look at that minimum salary because the minutes are going to have to be there. But 26 minutes for 8 and 7 is not a great return from Dev. On to the Thunder. Kevin Durant was putrid. He was 7 of 33 from the field. That is not good. He had 21-9, and that looks okay on the surface, but the amount of shots that he took was disgustingly bad. The Thunder shot just 34% from the field. Westbrook went 8 of 22 as well. He went 19-14-6. And I was thinking about this today with Durant. Is there any superstar who is as immune to criticism as what Kevin Durant is? If LeBron had gone out there and shot 7 of 33... the amount of LeBron hatred and arguments that had gone back and forward, you're a LeBron stan, you're just dick riding LeBron, LeBron chokes, LeBum, whatever bullshit the people want to put out there. I hate all that stuff regardless. But LeBron would have copped it as hard as anybody. If Kobe had gone out there and shot 7 of 33, he would have been hated on. Yeah, a lot of it by me. But everyone would have been, Kobe, he's a chucker, learned to can't shoot, he's washed. Kevin Durant goes out there. Does anyone ever say anything bad? If that was Westbrook, now Westbrook was bad. He went 8 of 22. If he went 7 of 33, Durant and Westbrook, they can't play together. Russ needs to go. Durant shouldn't want to play with a ball hog like that. How dare Russ take so many shots and miss it? This is disgraceful. You've got to get Durant the ball. Durant feels immune to everything. And I don't know why it is. Why is it? Why is he immune to everything? Because... I don't know, because it's not like he's been nice to the media. He's been really snappy at a lot of media people over the last 2 years, and really sort of not unnecessarily snappy, but without making any sense. Why is he so immune to everything? Like, you get the feeling that if he leaves Oklahoma City, people are going to be, oh, fair enough. Yeah, they botched things up. They didn't. They traded Harden. He can't play with Westbrook. Yeah, bad coaching. Yeah. What do they expect when they got Dion Waiters? LeBron leaves, they burn effigies. What is it? What is it about Kevin Durant? Send me a tweet or anything if you've got any idea why he's immune to criticism, because that is a horrible performance. He shot 21% on 33 attempts. It's horrific. And again, it's not just him, but that's a really bad performance. And it ended up costing them the game. Now, they almost got it with Steven Adams tip in at the end. But I don't know. They're gonna need to pull their fingers out, because to lose to a Mavericks team as depleted as what they are at home is horrible. It's really, really bad. Enes Kanter was pretty poor here as well. He was 6-8 in 19 minutes. Not his most efficient night, while Steve Adams went 9-7. Would have loved to have had 11-7 to get them the victory there. Of course, I love seeing Randy Foy play 10 minutes in campaign, not playing at all. That is one of the dumbest coaching decisions of the entire season. Payne needs to be in there. Payne needs to play next to Westbrook. We don't need to see Foy out there. We don't need to see Singler out there, to be honest, as well. And Dion Waiters had just 8 points in his 26 minutes. The last game, the Rockets, they would have had a sniff without Steph. They got somewhat of a sniff. They still ended up losing by 9, though. Dwight, one of his better games of late, still only took 7 shots, but 12-10-4, a steal and 2 blocks, and did foul out down the end. Jim Harden, back in business, had 0 free throw attempts in the first game, 15 here. He went 28-2-11, and Pat Beverley had 13-7-2 with a couple of blocks. A nice night from Bev. Trevor Reza played 39 minutes, and they moved Donatas Motiejunas back into the starting lineup and put Corey Brewer back on the bench, and Brewer played just 10 minutes. Not a great, not great. He's not a great player. That's true. But a big change from the 28 from game one down to 10. That whole thing is a that whole position is a real struggle for the Rockets. The power forward spot. Motti Unis is struggling. Brewer's struggling. Clint Capela played just 6 minutes, which is way too few in my opinion. KJ McDaniel's got less than a minute. Michael Beasley played just 12 minutes. Josh Smith got 18 minutes. I don't know why we're going back to Josh Smith here. Yes, he did hit three threes for 9 points, but why are we going back to Smith? Terrence Jones still MIA, and we saw Jared Dudley tweeting about Terrence Jones today asking where is he? He goes, I haven't watched much Rockets this season, but where's Terrence Jones at? Is he injured? And I haven't actually looked at his responses. I imagine there's a lot of the Rockets are dumb or Terrence Jones is shit, and I'll side on the latter part of that argument. The Warriors, Klay Thompson, 34 points, 5 assists, 3 triples, huge night from him, and we already touched on Draymond's big night. Shaun Livingston went 16-2-6 with 2 steals in 29 minutes, and Iggy had a big performance as well. Andy Bogut, 10 points, 7 rebounds, 1 steal, 3 blocks. That's a massive night from Bogut. He is going to be key in some matchups during this playoff. Some of them he'll be hard to use, but he is a real key piece of this team. And an underrated fantasy guy when he gets the minutes. Just predicting when that's going to happen is the real concern. Harry Barnes did his best Kevin Durant impression. He went 1 of 10 for 6 and 5 in 33 minutes. He's got a real nice matchup against the Rockets. Has not taken advantage of it at all so far. J Motion tweets in, and remember, if you are watching this show live, you can tweet at me at redrock_Beeble. And J Motion, who's on Twitter at JMotion100, had a massive win in DFS today. He made $3,000 in profit, so congratulations, J Motion, for that that big performance in your DFS. Now he tweets in, he goes, I think KD's immune because he doesn't have much of these bad nights compared to other elites. Would you say that LeBron has games in more bad games than what KD does? Look, KD's been pretty consistent, but even when he does turn in a bad, like if LeBron, and LeBron's been good for every year that he's played in the NBA, and LeBron has a bad night and he goes, you know, 21-9-8 on, you know, 10 of 20 shooting, gah, shit night, LeBron. He's got such a high standard. And look, I know Durant has scored 20 plus in, what, 70 straight games or whatever it is. He scored 20 here, but he was still bad at it. So the 20-point streak doesn't mean he's been good in all 20 of those games. I just feel like no matter what KD does, he's immune to criticism. Daniel Charles also tweets at me. He says, the ref played a part in that game. KD didn't get any calls, and that might have played a part in his bad shooting tonight. Frustration. I don't put much credence in that. He gets plenty of calls. I don't think we need to worry about him not getting calls on one night and causing him to miss 26 shots or whatever he did. There was just something completely not right with him, and I really don't think that it was referee induced. But thank you for the conversation, Daniel. Thank you for chiming in. Festus Ezeli, clearly not right. He played just 3 minutes in this one for the Warriors. All right, now we're going to talk DFS for Tuesday's game, and it's a real tough one because we've only got 2 games. So you're going to be putting guys in there who might only play 15 minutes or play 18 minutes, and it's finding the right guys to play. I'm not going to do the DFS picks of the day at the end because it's just not going to be players who fit into each of these categories. There's 2 games to talk about. We're going to break them down here. We're going to talk about the players that you can use and who are sort of must-play guys and guys that you can sort of fit in into other spots. But it's going to be a real tough one, especially for cash games. I'd be trying to limit cash game and maybe throw a few entries in tournaments, but I think it's going to be a tough one to do, especially considering FanDuel has raised, that's the right word. They've raised a lot of salaries of players. So constructing a lineup is going to be, okay, we've got these players in, and then we're going to put in Terry Rozier or something like that. Because as you see, as we go through these matchups, the salaries have risen enormously. Let's start with the first one. It's the Boston Celtics and the Atlanta Hawks. There's going to be no Avery Bradley basically for the rest of this series, which sounds about right to me. Kelly Olynyk is questionable for his birthday. Boo-hoo. He's dealing with a shoulder problem. I really hope Olynyk plays. He can be a real contributor, and I just feel like he gets underused in Boston. He might be in, he might be out. We don't know. And Marcus Smart, who missed practice on Sunday with a bruised knuckle, I think it was. A really weird phrasing of that injury. He's likely to play, as is Kent Bazemore, who's probable with his knee issue. Didn't seem to bother him on Saturday. Did they play Saturday? Yeah, Saturday. Let's look at the point guards in this one. The Hawks are favored by 6.5. The total is 205.5. Isaiah Thomas's salary has risen by $900, as has Jeff Teague.
My name is Jeff.
So we've got Thomas at 8,800. We've got Teague at 7,900. Now, both guys were great in game one. 44 points for Thomas, 46 for Teague. Thomas has, in terms of statistically, the easier matchup. And I don't mind using him at 8,800. But it really depends on which other guys you're fitting in around him, whether you can afford that. Because using Teague is not a horrible option. I think we've got them projected for a similar ratio for the amount of money that you spend. And it really depends who else you're fitting in there. Teague played a fair bit of minutes in the last game as well. He played 36 minutes, and most of the Hawks studs, him, Bazemore, what an odd world, Bazemore's a stud, Millsap and Horford played a lot of minutes in game one. Teague's going to play a lot more. Schroeder's barely going to play. So both guys are worth using. Teague, in fact, is averaging more points than what Isaiah Thomas is over the last five games. But Thomas is going to have to take a bigger role with Avery Bradley not there. He's going to have to do more offensively for this team. So I like both guys. I like Thomas marginally more, but it depends on how you've structured the rest of your lineup. Schroeder at 3,600. Just don't think he's going to get enough minutes. But in a tournament, you know, what if they decide, okay, well, Teague's not feeling it. Let's play him 28 and let's get Schroeder the other 20 minutes. He can easily exceed the value at 3,600. So he's a tournament punt. And Terry Rozier, who looks or stands to get some of the minutes from Avery Bradley, gets a bit of a bump. But I think that, well, we saw in the first game that RJ Hunter got a little bit of extra time with Bradley out as more of a shooter. Rozier's a guy who replaces someone like Marcus Smart, more of that bulldog, tenacious defender sort of player, whereas Hunter's more of a shooter to replace Bradley. So we don't exactly know how that's going to work, but I imagine that it's not going to be all Rozier, and we're going to get some RJ Hunter in there as well. The shooting guard battle, obviously no Avery Bradley, unfortunately for Celtics fans. Kyle Korver is at 3,500. He dropped a massive 12 points in the last game, but at 3,500, a guy you know is going to start and a guy you know is going to play 30 minutes, it's going to be real tough to keep him out to allow you to put these other guys and some of these other high-priced players in. You're almost going to have to use Kyle Korver. Evan Turner at 6,000, he's going to take on some extra an extra role with Avery Bradley out. He's at 6,000. He had 30 in the first game. I think he's going to get 30-plus minutes, and he's going to be someone that is definitely worth looking at. And Marcus Smart, the salary for him has gone up to 5,600 now, so we're talking big salaries. He's at 29, and he's going to have to take a bigger role as well. If I'm picking one of those guys, I'm taking Turner for the extra $400, but either guy could be used. RJ Hunter, Tim Hardaway, they're not likely to play enough minutes to have much of an impact or have any sort of impact. Small forwards, Kent Bazemore at 6,000. I think you've almost got to try and find a way to get him in. He dropped 39 in the first game, and I think 30 points for him should feel like it's pretty straightforward given the way that the Hawks are running their rotation, so I do like using him. Thabo Sefolosha is a cheap option that you can go for. He's at minimum salary, 3,500. He only had 14 in the last game, but as we've seen in some of these other situations, and I think we're going to see it more on Tuesday, that someone who gets 16 or 17 points, especially at the shooting guard or small forward position, might fit into the optimal lineup. So Thabo could be that guy. Jay Crowder at 6,300. I would rather take the 300 less and take Bazemore. He's been outplaying him lately. Outplayed him Saturday, outplayed him over the last three, and Crowder's still sort of feeling his way back a little bit from the ankle. I would take Bazemore and save myself those $300. Mike Scott at minimum salary is another guy that I think is a really good option to really fit a minimum salary guy. Then there's not many minimum salary guys in there who you can get 20 points out of, but Scott's one of those guys. He had 19 in the first game. Power forward, Paul Millsap was tremendous in the first game. His salary is now at 9,500. That is the tough part here. He had 35 points in that game. The matchup is absolutely superb for Millsap. He's averaging 46 the last three times he's taken on Boston. I really like using Millsap here. If Olynyk happens to be out, Jonas Jerebko at minimum salary becomes a great guy to plug in. He's going to have to absorb some of those 20 minutes that Olynyk plays. He's more of a shooter than any of the other big men on this team, and that's sort of what Olynyk's role is. So I imagine Jerebko plays a massive part in this game if Olynyk happens to be out. He should get 20 minutes, and at minimum salary, I'd love to get him in. Jared Sullinger at 6,500, that just feels way too expensive. I could find much better ways to spend 6,500 than on Jared Sullinger. But if Olynyk's out, he's going to have to play 25 minutes or so, and that makes him more intriguing. If Olynyk plays, then he's a harder guy, or he's almost an impossible guy to use. At center, Al Horford, great matchup for him as well. He's at 8,500. That salary's risen out of control too. He had 43.5 points in game one. So spending 8,500 on him is not a bad investment. I do like him. Olynyk at 3,800. Well, if he's going to play, he's going to have a big game in these playoffs. We don't know when, but it is going to happen. Does the birthday bump really push him forward? I think that Olynyk at 3,800 makes a great option. as a punt, you know, in your third lineup. Amir Johnson at 5,100. Again, if Olynyk's out, he just gets a couple of extra minutes. And I think that at 5,100, you can get 22, 23 points out of him. Not my best option, but someone who's out there. And Tyler Zeller should get some extra run if Olynyk happens to miss. So a lot basically, and it's good that that's the first game of the night, because a lot of it is going to rest on whether Kelly Olynyk plays or doesn't, and then some value will open up with my main guy being Jonas Jerebko there. The second game of the night is not ideal. It's the Memphis Grizzlies and the San Antonio Spurs. The Spurs are favored by just a lazy 18.5 points. The total is 187, so it's not a big total. At point guard, you're looking for value. Patty Mills has to be the guy. He's at 3,600. He had 27 in the last game. And the guy opposite him, Xavier Munford at 3,500, played 28 minutes in game one. He's played more than Jordan Farmer, I think, in three or four straight. He doesn't produce much. But 17 points at minimum salary is basically... it's basically enough. And you put him in and you put him next to Teague and you get Millsap and you get Horford in, it could work out in your favor. Now, if you think this is going to be the night that Jordan Farmer gets more minutes, then he fills that role. But we've seen over the last 3 to 4 that Dave Joerger is running with Munford more, even though he's coming off the bench. Tone Parker at 5,500 is a... look, that salary's risen by 500 as well. It's a pretty cheap price. He had 22 in game one in just 21 minutes. He's been playing a little bit better of late. 5,500 is not a big salary. I think he is one of the better options out there if you're looking to save a buck or two. Interesting report that came out today from Ken Berger of CBS saying that Mike Conley is basically leaving Memphis in free agency. So that could be a massive shakeup to the Grizzlies and to the rest of the NBA, because he is the best point guard that's going to be available in the summertime. Very, very intriguing to see what happens to him. At shooting guard, Dan Green at 3,700. I think you got to look at him at that salary. It's become... it's between him and Kyle Korver for the who is the most underwhelming player that used to be good last season, who's at a really low salary that could go off. What a long title that is, but both these guys are battling for that belt. So Green at 3,700, I reckon you have to look at it. Manu at 4,100, I really like Manu at 4,100. I don't think he's going to go for 30 points, but you feel like he's going to go 17 to 22 in that range basically every night. Lance Stephenson's at 5,100, and that feels like it's relatively solid investment in him. He's going to have to do something if this team's going to get close. He's not very good. He had 20 points in 29 minutes in game one, and you know, I think that 23 to 25 points is not a bad area to look for, but he could also fall in a big heap. Tone Allen's not right. He's at 5,100. That's a waste of 5,100 by spending it on Tone. The small forwards, Kawhi Leonard, he's at 9,600. If you've got 9,600 spare, obviously Kawhi is going to be the best. Well, he's the highest priced guy that's on the board. I think maybe Millsap is not. Millsap was 95. So Leonard's a guy you can look at. He's risen by $700, but there's a massive risk with playing him. I would rather spend up on Millsap and Horford than use Leonard, just because the Spurs could be they could be up by 30 at halftime, and Leonard plays 28 minutes or 30 minutes. That's the real concern with him. Vince Carter at 3,700 put up 24 points in game one. I think he's going to have a role at 3,700. Definitely a guy to look in there, because even in 24 to 25 minutes, he can get you 20 points, and that's plenty at that sort of salary. Kyle Anderson, minimum salary. Matty Barnes at 61, really been inconsistent lately, averaging just 13 points across his last three, including a 5-point stinker in game one. The power forwards, LaMarcus Aldridge, everything that I said for Kawhi Leonard holds true for LaMarcus. He's at 8,700. I don't really like spending it there. Millsap is the way to go for me, despite the fact that I'm spending an extra $800. I don't mind Boris Diaw, though, at 3,500, because if the game is a blowout, Diaw will play 20, he might get to 24, and he can have decent nights. He had 14 points in 21 minutes in game one, and at minimum salary, get him up to 20 minutes, or get him to 20 points, it's a pretty nice return. So I do like Boris Diaw here. Dave West at 45, similar boat to DL, but you're spending $1,000 more. So I would rather take DL in that spot. And Zachary Randolph at 7,600, there are better ways to spend that sort of cash. Jermichael Green at 48, if he's down at 4,000, I'd be more inclined to get excited. And Jarrell Martin played 23 minutes in game one. Don't think he gets that in game two, so he's not someone who's really all that on my radar. At center, Timmy Duncan is at 5,900. Not horrible, but the risk is there with him. But he doesn't need many minutes to really put up any sort of number. So I'm okay with using Tim there. Boban Marjanovic probably won't play enough minutes. Matt Bonner won't play at all. And Birdman Chris Anderson, minimum salary. I reckon you do have to consider the Birdman. He put up 17 in 17 minutes in game one. He's averaging almost 30 points per 36 over his last five, which doesn't seem like much, but get him 20 minutes, get him 21 minutes, which is a possibility, and you could get 20, you could get 18 points, and at minimum salary, I'm sort of okay with it. It's a real tough night for DFS. So look at your lineup and go, geez, this lineup looks shit. It looks terrible. I've got Chris Anderson in. I've got Vince Carter in. My projection is coming out at 250 points. Don't be surprised if that's the case, because the salaries have risen so much on these players, and there's only two games on it, and it's tightened rotations in playoffs. You're going to be putting in guys that you go, am I really running Xavier Munford out there in a DFS lineup? The answer is probably going to be yes, but don't be thrown off by looking at it and going, Jesus, this looks terrible, I can't deal with it. Because when we go through the optimal lineup tomorrow, it's going to be bad. It's not going to be good. It may not top 300. I would guess that it doesn't top 300. If I had to put my balls on the table now, I would guess that it doesn't get to 300. Let me know. You can always tweet me any lineup questions at redrock_bball throughout the day. My ideas on what line. Now, someone has asked me, can you send me a lineup? I don't do that. I don't go out there and go, this is a lineup, go and play it. I'm not a lineup provider. That's not what I do. But what I will do is I'll answer questions about your lineup. I will help you say, yeah, I don't like this, I like this, move that. I'll answer questions. Who do I prefer out of these two guys? I'll do that sort of stuff. I just don't like going out there and going, here's nine guys, everyone go and play them. So yeah, ask me any questions you like. I'll give you help. I'll give you advice. But I'm not going to go out in there and throw a full lineup out there at you. We are done for today's podcast, guys. Knew it would be a short and sweet one. We're going to be back tomorrow, of course. Follow me on Twitter at redrock_bball. Check out lootcrate.com/redrock, the sponsors of today's podcast. They are support the show, so go and visit that unique URL and use the coupon code redrock for $3 off to help support the show as well. Leaving a review helps the show immensely too, so if you can do that, that would be awesome. I'd love to get it up to over 600 reviews by the end of the season. We're not far away from that. So if you are still listening and haven't done that and you got 5 minutes spare while you're watching the playoff game, just go and leave a review. It'd be great. Give it two words. Good, great. That's it. That's all I need. 5 stars, good, great, thank you. The more you put in there, the better. Criticisms, critiques, ideas, suggestions are all welcome as well. We are done today, guys. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.